Yes. Thank you for joining us this evening. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let's go to him in prayer as we open this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your goodness. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I do thank you for the capability that we have to meet in this way so that we can still hear from you and we still participate in the preaching of your word and worshiping you, Lord. We ask that you be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's join together, if you would, from your house. I'm Revive Us Again. We'll sing the first and the last verse. And here we go.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Well, amen. It's good to be together this evening, and I do appreciate so much the leadership of our deacons and trustees. As I began to watch the temperatures, I just kind of felt that it was getting pretty dangerous. It'd be one of those things that the devil would probably want to make a liar out of us, you know, and it'll be like 32 at church time. But the reason we did what we did was because of the safety of you, God's people. And so I appreciate the deacons, trustees, their help in making these decisions. And also mention that Friday night chili cook-off has been canceled. And then our plan for Sunday right now is to do a regular Sunday morning and then do a brown bag and an early Sunday afternoon service. So if you can come Sunday morning and you want to just get something quick to eat, we'll turn around, do the early service. That'll get you home before it's too dark. Now, they're talking about some precipitation. If we'd happen to get a lot of snow, that'll change things too. So we'll just kind of have to be flexible on Sunday. But right now, we're not going to have the Friday night activities, so you can take that off your planner, and we'll look forward to what the Lord has for us. So in the auditorium on Wednesday nights, we're still doing Isaiah. And tonight we're on Isaiah 30 and 31, chapter 30 and chapter 31. And our message tonight is entitled, "The Fourth and Fifth Messages of Woe." The Fourth and Fifth Messages of Woe. And so we're going to start here in chapter 30 and read seven verses as we get started. Isaiah 30, verse number 1. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zorn, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be an help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. The burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to set still. Let's pray. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this time together this evening. We thank you for the warm houses that you've given us to be in, a place to be safe. Lord, we pray tonight that we might hear from you. We thank you for your word, that we can read it, study it, and grow thereby. And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a growth time in our life as children of God, that we might draw closer to you, that we can make applications through the preaching of your word here tonight in our lives and in our hearts to help us to better serve you. God, we love you and we thank you that we have this avenue to be able to come together. We pray that you'd use it for your honor and your glory. We ask these things in your wonderful, most precious name. Amen. And so we begin here talking about the fourth and fifth messages of woe to Egypt. And so the first thing we see is the devastation upon Israel. The devastation upon Israel. Now, if you have a pencil and a pen, I'll give you some verses here. We find that in chapter 30, verses 1 through 14, verses 16 and 17, and then chapter 31, verses 1 through 3. So the devastation upon Israel. Now, what Israel's done to God? Well, in the first 11 verses, we see that they made plans without consulting God. We just read there about how they had turned their heart against God and their way against God, how they loved Egypt and they cared about Egypt. They didn't want to walk with God. Their eyes were upon that they left. They were building their life sin upon sin. And so they had not been consulting with God. They demanded that their prophets cease from preaching on sin. You know, there's a lot of churches today where, you know, they want easy preaching. They don't want the hard preaching. They don't want to be reminded of the sin and where they are in their walk with God. And so these people had come to the point they only wanted to have soothing sermons. Doesn't that sound precious? Soothing sermons. I want to be consoled. I want to be told how good I am. I want to be told how hard I work. I want to be told about me. I want me to feel good. Listen, this book right here, this Bible that we hold in our hands, it's not about making us feel good. It's about making us to be more like Christ. And so if it makes you feel bad, there's a reason it makes you feel bad. And we need to get along with God and say, God, what needs to change in my heart that I might be more like you? And so we see that Israel, what Israel done to God. We see what God will do to Israel in chapter 30, 12 through 14, verses 16 and 17. What God will do to Israel. It says his judgment will fall on them like a bulging wall. Now that's quite an interesting contrast. A bulging wall bowed out and God's going to fall upon them. His judgment's going to fall upon them like this wall would fall upon them. Just think about that just a minute. It's going to like squish them, right? It's going to smash them. Matter of fact, he said there, wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out of a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly and an instant, and he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal from the pit. And so this wall is high, it's bulging, and God says, my judgment's going to fall upon you as if it was a pot that had been broken. You're going to be smashed by it. You're going to be driven to the ground. You're going to be broken in pieces. And so he's going to smash them like pottery with this bulging wall of judgment that's going to fall upon his people. And then it says 1,000 of them will flee from one enemy soldier. And so verses 16 and 17 make reference to the fact that they would be swift to run away from one who might come to bring judgment against them. It's because they have their trust in Egypt instead of God. They're not trusting the Lord. They're not trusting in God. God, what can you do for me? How can you help me in this situation? They're only trusting in themselves. They're only trusting in the things of Egypt. Of course, Egypt is a likeness to the world. And, you know, Christian friend, if we're not careful, we can become to where we trust in the world. And our cares in the world, our trust is in the world. And all we want is the world to lead us and guide us. We want the world to make us happy. And we don't want God to lead us and guide us. We don't want God to bring judgment in our life. We want the smooth things. And if we're not careful, we can really begin to identify with the nation of Israel here. And so we have to be on watch. We have to be on guard. The second thing we see is the invitation to Israel. Now this is going to be found in chapter 30, verses 15 and 18. And then chapter 31, verses 6 and 7. So verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shalt thou be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. So he's told them, look, you come back to me, you trust in me, you put your rest in me, and I will save you. You will have confidence, you will have your strength, but they wouldn't do it. In verse 18, therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for the Lord. And so we see some insight here, that if we will wait on the Lord, if we will submit ourselves to God, if we will bring our sin, confess them before him, that he'll be gracious unto us. Man, I'm glad we have a gracious God. I'm glad we have a long-suffering God. And if we will come and we will be at his feet, if we will humble ourselves, then he will be gracious to us and he will be exalted. He will have mercy upon us because he is the Lord. He is a God of judgment. And blessed are they all that wait upon him. And then in Isaiah 30, 6 and 7, says the burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish, from whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent. They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses, and their treasures upon the bunches of camels, to a people that shall not profit them. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to set still. And so God issues an invitation, urging his people to repent and to turn to them. God is using these verses here, saying, return to me, return to me. There only judgment lies ahead. Only judgment for turning to Egypt. Only judgment for wanting the smoother things, for not wanting me in your life. Return to me, or else judgment's going to come. And so that brings us to the third point, the invitation of Israel. The invitation of Israel, verses 19 through 33, and then chapter 31, verses 4 through 5. So for the sake of time, I'm not going to read all of that 19 through 33, but I will give you some ideas of what it contains, okay? The Lord will do several things for Israel. First of all, in verse number 19, it says he will comfort his people and hear their prayers. Isn't it great to know that our God, even when we're in sin, that if we'll return to him, if we'll come back to him, that he will comfort us and he will hear our prayers. Amen. Man, it's good to know we can come to him, bringing our requests to him. God will be gracious and respond to our cries if we cry out to him. in verse 20 and through 22, he will teach and guide them. He's promised to teach and guide them. In verses 23 through 26, he's going to give them abundant crops. He's going to bless them. Man, you know, isn't that amazing that we can wander away from God, we can be in sin, we can be away from God, and yet God says, if you'll come back to me, if you'll repent of your sin, if you'll confess that, I have abundant mercy, I will have mercy upon you, I will take and comfort you, I will hear your prayers, and then I will teach you and I will guide you in the truth of the Word of God, and then I will give you abundance of crops. I'll bless you. I'll bless that you do. I'll bless your hand, what you put it to. The animals will be well fed, and the sun and the moon will be bright. God's promised to bless his people, the nation of Israel, if they would revert from their wickedness and turn to him. And Christian friend, if we've wandered away from God tonight, God says, come back to me. Confess your sin. Forsake your sin. And I'll bless you once again. The fourth thing we see here is the defeat of their enemies. Now, this is verses 27, 28, verses 30 through 33, and chapter 31, 4 and 5, and 8 and 9. The Lord will come and sift out the proud nations. He will lead them to destruction. It's good to know that our God's a God of judgment, because sometimes in the world in which we live, it's awful easy to look and say, well, why does it seem that the wicked are having it so well? Why are they progressing so well? And we who know the Lord, we have it difficult. We have it hard. Why is it that the wicked people of this world seem to flourish with money and with things? And life doesn't seem to be all that hard and that difficult. Why is it that God would be that way? Well, just remember that God is going to be the ultimate God. And he will sift out the proud. And he will judge those that are the proud heart. He will judge the wicked. And he will bring them to destruction in his way at his time. Ours is not to be God. Ours is to follow God. You know, if I was God, there, you know, a lot of things in life would have been a whole lot different if I'd been the one in charge. But God is in charge. Why is it that bad things happen to good people? I can't give you that answer, but I do know that God is in charge. And so I can trust him. In the midst of tears and trials and anguish, I can still trust him. And that's the best we can do as a child of God, is to trust him. To know that one day God will write all the books. He'll, if you would, level all the scales. Judgment and destruction will come upon those who rightfully deserve it. And then finally, in verse number 29 of chapter 30, we read, ye shall have a song, as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. There's coming a day that all of our hearts will be filled with joy. Now, child of God, I would challenge you, really, as we live this life, we ought to have a song in our heart, amen? Yeah. There ought to be joy in our spirit, because this is not our home. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We're just passing through.
Yeah.
This is not it. If this was it, I'd be totally discouraged. If this was it, I would be bummed out. But this is not it. We got a better place to go.
Amen.
We have an honest and true God who'll see that we're rewarded according to our faithfulness to him. Not according to the world. Man, I'm glad that the rewards I'm going to get are in heaven. They're not here on this earth. Because these things, the Bible tells us, that moth and rust doth corrupt. But our reward is in heaven, a better country, a better place. And moth and rust does not corrupt there, because everything is perfect. We'll be with our Savior. We'll be with our loved ones. We'll be with our friends and family. Those who have known Christ as their Savior. Those who have been faithful and they've walked with him and fellowshiped with him. We're going to be together one day. What a glorious time that's going to be. Listen, if you ever want to become discouraged, downhearted, you think it just the world is against you, just be reminded of where you're going. And then be reminded of where they're going. You know, this is the best they get. This is their best. Man, I'm so glad this isn't my best. This isn't even really a warm-up for what I get to look forward to. Heaven is my eternal home. Man, thank God for the fact we can be saved, know that we're saved, and on our way to heaven. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight. We thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, we pray that you might be honored and glorified. Help us to take this message tonight, drive it home in our hearts, in our thinking, in our minds, and help us just to celebrate and be thankful for all that you have done for us. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in your wonderful and most precious name. Amen. Going to have Brother Richard come. He'll dismiss us. He's going to lead us in prayer and dismiss us. Lord bless you for being here. Brother Richard.
And before we close in prayer, I do just want to remind you to look over your prayer list and pray over those that are not feeling well. Pray for our missionaries. Do especially remember pray for the Gilsons, as they notified us that most of their house, if not everybody in their house, is coming down with the flu. So be praying for them. Pray that they would recover quickly. And then, as a preacher mentioned earlier, the Friday night event, the chili cook-off and the games, is canceled. And unless notified otherwise, we would be planning on having brown bag on Sunday. So do be planning for that. Let's go to him in prayer as we close. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you for your goodness. I do thank you for the safety and the protection that you've given us. I do pray for those that are sick. We do think of the Gilsons tonight, that you'd be with them, that you'd heal them, that you'd enable them to get through what they're struggling with now, Lord. And just all those others, all those on our prayer list, those that are sick, that you would give them the comfort, the healing that they need, Lord. And pray for those that are facing different spiritual issues, Lord. Pray that you, they would turn towards you, that they would find the help, the comfort, the peace that comes from knowing you. Lord, we do think of our missionaries as they continue to serve you, that you would be with them, that you'd protect them, that you would guide them. And that, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.